You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of July 27th, 2016. And Scott and I have done 12 gallons of Mountain Dew, 15 lines of cocaine, and one keg of beer to produce this podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alborg.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games.
Mm-hmm.
This week, we're talking about the quantified self.
That's right.
Just click on my TED Talk here. And also, so we found an article from playthepast.org. It's called The Long Dark and the Last Lonely Days of the Quantified Self.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long read about this game that we've actually played on the site multiple times.
It's a survival game.
Yeah, where you're just dropped into the wilderness and you have to manage your food intake, your water intake, your heat.
Yeah, your warmth, exactly right. Like how far you progress in the game, mm-hmm. clothing, all that good stuff.
And then eventually, as happened to us, you'd get eaten by wolves.
Exactly. Yeah.
or we had a bear fight.
Yeah. I think we got mauled by a bear.
We somehow survived that bear, I remember. But anyway, so it's very... there's a lot of quantification of metrics related to your health in that
game. That's right, yeah.
Which
I think is pretty common in survival games generally.
Yes, and Giles Roy talked more broadly about the game, how those mechanics manifest in the game and are meant to make you feel as though you're a survivor or as though you're part of the wilderness, and then also compared it to this like larger societal trend of kind of hyper-specific measurement of your status, your health status.
Yes. Yeah. Now, this is a phenomenon that is especially virulent or trendy in Silicon Valley, the tech space.
Yes.
Well-off individuals tend to flock to these ideas, right? Because this is very much a concept that has been seized upon by relatively sort of left or liberal leaning hippies that are measuring their stats in like New York and Brooklyn and you know, Mountain View.
But there's this weird like undercurrent of kind of like almost like techno-libertarianism behind it.
Definitely. You know, I think it's almost like can we hack the body? Mm-hmm. Like if I see my body as just this sort of object, this tool that takes things in and spits them out like a system, right? If I can understand my body in the way that like a nerdy engineer might understand a piece of code,
I've already hacked the planet,
right?
Can I hack my body?
I mean, literally, like that's its own thing, right? It's like, well, what data, and by data I mean like food and water and exercise, am I putting into my body, and what is the output? So what can I augment about my life using information in order to make myself a healthier, happier person.
Mm.
It sounds really hopeful, but it's also something I laugh about and joke about because it is at like such an extreme, right? I mean, I think, what's the Soylent?
Oh yeah, Soylent.
The liquid diet replacement that was popular is a branch of this idea, right? Because the concept is, you know what? You don't actually need food. If you just get all of your nutrients that we've measured that you need
from a protein-rich paste,
from this disgusting slurry, and just chug that down every morning, then you're fine. And you can save time. Mm-hmm. And literally, that's a measurement of your own time as well, right? Mm-hmm. The quantified self includes time spent doing other things.
Yeah.
So you could spend that time doing other things that make you happy.
Yeah.
Which kind of forgets the fact that I love fucking eating food. Holy God. Why would I ever want to eat this nasty sludge?
You ever tried Soylent?
No.
I've never tried it either.
Bunch at work for a while.
I want to taste it to see what it tastes like.
I'm sure it tastes like ass, Scott.
Oh, speaking of ass, I have listened to people who have tried it. It makes you extremely gassy.
Oh, does it really?
Or at least, see, this is another weird thing. At least version 1.0 did.
Right, but
like
they got new data.
Yeah, the recipes so that we're not on version 1 of Soylent anymore.
Man, crazy.
So anyway, there's a pretty good article that we'll link to here about this in general. But I think the topic is particularly relevant to video games because you it's hard to not have a quantified self when you're playing a video game.
Totally.
Because it's a computer representation of a thing.
It is. I mean, what's interesting, though, is that we've had this for a while now.
Yeah.
But I think it has increased primarily probably because we just have better access to data, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're looking at Mario Brothers, for example, mm-hmm. you can measure how many lives you have, and in some way that measures how many runs you've done.
Right.
You've also got a clock in the top right-hand corner yeah. of the screen, so you can measure your speed or the time that you get somewhere.
Yeah.
So there's always been some form of measuring yourself in those games. But what games have now, and survival games included, are small bits of information that you'd almost be surprised to see. Mm-hmm. Like, what would a heavily quantified Mario Brothers look like?
Yeah.
They would tell you how many power-ups you've gotten during mm-hmm. the game, how many enemies you've killed, mm-hmm. maybe how many enemies of each type you've killed, how many jumps you've done, how yeah. many times you've fallen down a pit, how many times you've died to Koopa Troopa, how
many times
you've...
It start looking more like Mario Maker. Like,
yeah.
it's very light the way they do it, but you can see, like, a map of your level and where people died.
Yeah, or, exactly.
You know, like, yeah.
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 God, that level maker, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting method as well, because that's feeding you data based on other people's experiences. Mm-hmm. But it's a quantified self in the sense that it's your level design. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So before we go too far into it, what do you do that would fall into the trend of the quantified self?
You know, what do I do personally in my real life? Yeah. I used to have some Fitbits, but I've lost three of them and decided I'm going to stop replacing them.
That alone is a very interesting data point.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah.
I used to be very strict about doing the Fitbit stuff, and now because I still get the weekly readouts, mm-hmm. You know, email summaries of it, and I notice that, oh, like, I know I moved around more. Oh, wait, I had forgotten to wear it for like 3 days or something like
you're
that.
You're not wearing it now, Scott. All your sweet podcasting hours. Oh, it's on your
boom,
hip.
Boom, okay. Pants. Okay. I think that's the main thing that I do. Like, I still do Fitbit on at least a pretty regular basis.
I measure my weight every morning, which mm-hmm. doesn't actually change all that much, but it does remind me I'm a fat ass that I need to work out and eat less. Which isn't exactly quantified itself because I'm not using anything with that data, but it is providing.
Do you record
like,
the data or does the scale record
it? I used to record it so that I would actually
have
a graph
of like, yeah.
But I stopped doing that because I found what was just really effective for me was just being reminded of it. I don't think I was doing anything with that data.
That was the thing that happened to me with Fitbit for tracking your sleep, because the Fitbit would track sleep.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, I stopped because that data was only depressing for me.
Yep.
Like, I had no means to improve my sleep because of various life realities.
Yeah.
So I'm always going to get not enough sleep, and just seeing it over and over again, like, what is the value of this?
It's like, going to stress you out when you're trying to go to sleep.
Exactly. Sure. Like, now I'm just like thinking about it where it's like, I know I'm not getting enough sleep. And so it's like, you know, screw it. And so, like, looping back around to video games, like, is there a point... Are there points in video games where, like, I don't even want to know about this. Like, I don't even care. Like,
sure.
Does that you know, does my sleep example exist in the context of video games?
What do you think about, like, Metal Gear Solid? Like, the latest Metal Gear Solid collects a stupid amount of data.
Oh, yeah.
And shows you all of that data, like, at the end of match. I think, does it show it to you when you die as well?
I think just missions. Like, at the end of missions, it'll show you, like...
I mean, how much of that data actually applies to what you do?
Very little, I suppose, unless there's a specific trophy that you are
using.
See,
so that's the problem, is so much of the video game data is fed to you only because there's an achievement to get, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a specific goal in mind.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, right? Is a lot of the idea of the quantified self really only works if you have a specific goal, right? Your goal might be to get healthier, it might be to lose weight, mm-hmm. right? And so in order to get to that goal, you take in data in order to measure how you're progressing towards that goal and make changes so that you can achieve that goal easier or on target, right? The goal in games often is just to achieve that sweet chivo, right? And not necessarily to make you have more fun. Like, what data could possibly be given to you that would make you have a better time? I mean, setting aside the fact that some achievements might be their own challenge and fun in and of themselves, is there any data that could be fed to you that goes, oh, okay, now I can have a better time? Unless... I mean, I guess the only thing I could think of is if the data was telling you how you died to maybe help you die less, right? If it's like, oh, Scott, clearly you're weak to this. Maybe you need to do better.
Do you think it can just be an emotional appeal? Like, there's a reason why Like think about Overwatch or something.
Sure.
Like, you get points for, like, how many medals you get, or if you win a game, three games in a row, or if you first win of the day or whatever. And, like...
Experience points, you mean.
Yeah. Level up, it doesn't do anything for you.
I get the sweet loot boxes. What are you talking about?
I mean, you could just buy those loot boxes, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's just... Those levels, all they do is give you... It's just strange where it shows, like, oh, you spent 7 minutes on the point, or you spent, you know, 3 straight minutes freezing
people
or something like
that. That's true. It's very arbitrary, you know? And it doesn't give you all the information.
But it gives you, like, it gives you some information, then it shows you a sick meter filling up.
Yeah.
And then it's like, but is that just kind of appealing to your most, like, base kind of pleasure receptors of seeing a meter fill up?
I mean, you know? I think in the case of Overwatch, it's self-reaffirming, right? Mm. Because what it's showing you is you've done or behaved in a specific way that earned you this title, and this is reaffirming the fact that you were doing a good job in that. Mm. So, for example, Overwatch will feed you data occasionally at the end of the match for how long you were on the objective.
Yeah.
And it will even give rewards as well for eliminations and things like that, right? Yeah. You might get a gold rating for objective time or a gold rating for eliminations. And that's just saying, hey, you remembered that this is capture point and you needed to be on the objective and you stayed there.
Yeah.
So even if you lost, there's a feeling like, okay, well, at least I was doing well in this one regard.
Mm.
What it doesn't do is tell you that you were doing poorly in other regards.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. I mean, you might not earn silver, right? And you would know, oh, okay, I'm not doing as much damage as I need to be doing.
Yeah.
But there's no real, like, there's no negative feedback given to you that would help you change your behavior, which I think is maybe one of the almost like coddling tendencies that something like Overwatch might have in an effort to create a sort of healthy, happy community.
Right.
You also lose access to data that might make you feel bad, but could potentially improve your play.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot about who's kind of the leader of this? Probably like Riot or something, where it's just that they expose a lot of stuff if you want to look at it.
Yeah, you know? I mean, Riot does a good job of it for sure. There are other third-party websites that will pool and use the Riot API to give you even more information than Riot gives you.
Yeah.
So, for example, there's a website that will show you, your win-loss record, who you're skilled at, right? Like, who you have the highest win record for each of your characters in very specific numbers. And I think this one is kind of cool. There's a site that will tell you which characters you lose games most often against.
Ah.
So if you struggle against a particular character, now it's a little lopsided because it's a 5v5 game. It's not like a 1v1. Yeah. But say, for example, you were playing Street Fighter and you were really into that as a fighting experience, and you were fed data in some way, shape, or form that said, hey, you're really bad against Ryu. You lose 70% of those games. You would know, okay, well, then maybe I need to work on and sort of understand how this particular character that I like can go up against in a better way against Ryu. But I think game developers have to be really cautious about sharing that information, because it can cause you to just sort of lose morale and just choose to opt out instead, right? I mean, in a similar way, similar to your sleep thing, right? You know that the data's not going to be any different, and you don't have, maybe you're not in the position in your life to feed in all this time to like get 8 solid hours of sleep every single night.
Yeah.
And so you just say, you know what? I don't need this information. I know that I don't get enough sleep. I don't need this fucking app to tell you.
Right.
In the same way that I know I'm going to get my ass kicked by Ryu, I don't need the game to tell me. Right. And in fact, if it does tell me, maybe I'll be discouraged and just stop playing or rage quit every time someone plays Ryu.
Right. I guess that actually in a roundabout way helps explain the Overwatch thing, which is like, we're not even going to tell you what you're doing bad, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
We're just going to tell you what has positively contributed.
I mean, that's the problem, right? It's like, it's one of the... Like, there's risks and balances, right? I think in the ideal world, you would get the information that you wanted if you wanted it, but doesn't present it to you after every match. And I think that's where it's sort of faulty. I think one of the criticisms that people who take competitive gaming seriously have with Overwatch is that I can't see a kill-death ratio of my teammates, so I can't call people out as, like, bad or find ways to improve.
Right.
And given most of the time that data is just used for, you know, toxicity, but it's also one of the ways that you measure whether or not someone on your team is carrying their weight, right? Yeah. If I can look mid-match and see, oh, this person has a 1:10 KD ratio on Winston. Maybe they should switch to a different character because clearly they're getting shut down as that champion or hero. Right.
What do you think about the, going back to the article again, what do you think about the quantified self as a virtual avatar?
You mean in a video game or in real life?
Like is the, there a difference? I mean, well, in a video game,
like as a representation of you.
Exactly. In that space. Like in the Long Dark, it's like the sense of the quantified self is used in this article by saying like, that's how you're represented in the game. You're represented as a series of,
I mean, this is the problem that we run into with the fanaticism around the quantified self in real life, which is to say you miss a lot of the qualitative experiences that make life interesting and special, right? Like there's the, you know, clearly people who are obsessed with the quantified self have not fully read and ingested The Little Prince, right? And how, like, so much of Precious is naked to the eye. Like, you can't how do you quantify a moment in The Long Dark where we got mauled by that bear? And I can say, okay, you've got mauled by a bear one time. But that one time doesn't express, like, the specific context of that moment, right? In that specific way. In fact, in a weird way, I think that Spelunky's method of the death recap is far more interesting than a lot of survival games' death recaps because it tells you who you died at this level and it has like a funny description. It's like you were mauled by
or it's like you almost made that jump or something. Yeah, exactly. Like that.
Yeah. Or like the shopkeep like put a bunch of holes in you or something. Yeah. Like something slightly clever, right? Yeah. To bring some of the humor that comes with playing the game. But it also has the camera running, constantly showing your corpse. And sometimes your corpse is like bouncing because it's stuck on one of those bouncing platforms. Or sometimes it's just like stuck on spikes and you see like a shopkeep jumping over you, right? Like it lets the moment, the actual experience of dying simmer and sit with you for a little bit longer and in a way that is a little bit more satisfying than just feeding you this raw data of like how many enemies you defeated and all that kind of stuff.
Do you think that we are more used to that idea where like a character is based on these stats? Like, don't you think that we would be more receptive to be like, your life is based on this Fitbit steps and your heart rate monitor on your watch and your this thing? Because like even back in the oldest of old days, like D&D version 1, you know, was like, here are some numbers that help you represent a character, you know?
But so much of what makes D&D fun and interesting, at least for me and plenty of other people, is that the data that you have and build around your character is only the starting point for the actual interesting stories that you tell, right? Like, that's what I think what confuses people about D&D all the time is you hear people go, oh, it's just imagination. And you go, no, it's not. It's like, but at the same time, the best thing about the game is the imagination part. It's that melding of the two. It's the reliance on the rules and the data to create that interesting experience, you know? So data is only good in my book insofar as it illuminates those other elements, right? I mean, at least in regards to video games.
I mean, I think I don't know enough about the recent revisions of D&D, but my understanding is that they kind of swing back and forth between getting more rules based and numbers based and then they swing away and now we're at a point where they've actually simplified a lot of that stuff.
For sure. I mean, it always goes back and forth, right? Like, so for example, one of the ways that fifth edition really encourages you to think about your character is that one of the things that you do as you're marking down and rolling dice to figure out what your charisma and your intellect is and wisdom is, you have to choose your background. And so there's a set of options that are little story bits like, oh, you grew up in the woods and you're a traveling monk or whatever, or you grew up poor in this town, or you grew up a rich noble, right? Yeah. And these little story bits you have to choose when you're creating a character if you follow the rules, and that provides a platform for you to start thinking about your character from a narrative perspective. The other thing is you have to choose, again, if you follow the rules, you can always choose to ignore this, but you have the option of choosing a trinket to bring with you. And there's a page in the manual that's like 100 different trinkets and they're random shit like a coin from like a forgotten lands or like a broken mirror or like a necklace with a red gemstone that glows and beats to your heartbeat, right? All these weird little nifty curios that you can have on your person. But in order for you to justify that in the narrative, like, you have to come up with a story about why you might be having that, yeah, right? And those things, like, are as much of your character as the intellect is, maybe even more so, right? Because you and I might have the same charisma, the same intellect. Yeah. We might even be the same class.
Mm.
But if you worship this one deity and it drives you in this way, and I worship another deity and it drives me in this way, then that's what's gonna be the thing that differentiates us, right? Because I think one of the problems with data in games is inevitably a lot of that data matches everybody else's data, right? Like, your data and my data, it's not that different. So really, what's the point? Like, what exactly are we learning out of that experience? Mm. If we looked at, you know, if I asked you what level were you in Dark Souls 3 and how many times did you die,
mm-hmm,
you probably are roughly the same level I was, and you probably died roughly the same amount of times as I did.
Yeah.
That doesn't tell me anything about your actual experience with Dark Souls.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is, data, I think, is cool. Like, for example, Rogue Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
When you're done with every level of Rogue Legacy and you die, it shows like thump, 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 of all the enemies that you killed during the game, right? Yeah. It gives you this great sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good way of visualizing the things that you've done in that match. But if I were not looking at you and you were trying to explain to me why a specific run was cool,
mm,
you wouldn't just show me a printout of all of those monsters,
because
that's not interesting, right? Yeah. Like, you would describe the events. You'd actually have to go into detail about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also thinking about the aspect of how, like, the quantified skill level is, like, very strong in some games.
Yeah.
But you're also...
like, you're, like, MMR.
Right, exactly. Maybe, yeah. Or, but not even that. Like, I mean, even, like, imagine a Final Fantasy game. Like, if your defense is 100 and your strength is 100 or whatever the scale is,
yeah,
you'll never lose. Like, it's impossible for you to lose.
Right.
But, and so you can very easily figure out, okay, in order to defeat this enemy, I'll need to this number of hit points, this number of levels. Like, it's a math problem at a certain point.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what some on the most extreme end of, you know, body hacking or whatever want to get to, where it's like, okay, if I just add in this number of calories, this much of calorie burn,
I will never die.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, this is the thing that I can just do. Whereas I think, again, like, one of the reasons that we are so obsessed with games like Dark Souls is that there's definitely an element of that.
Yeah, there,
like,
are hard numbers.
Yeah, if you have like a...
But they'll never tell you in the patch notes.
Like, you, if you have a, you know, 80 strength or something, you're just going to... You'll be able to, like, one-hit a lot of enemies.
Yeah.
However, all the strength in the world will not save you from poor technique.
Yes.
You know?
Totally true.
And so, like, there's this idea of, like, you can go full kind of deterministic with it, where, like, the numbers are the entire story. Or you can go, like, well, maybe the numbers influence the story, which is, I guess, more like D&D in this case.
Well, for Dark Souls 2, there's so many little measurements that are hidden. And the community themselves dig in and try to figure out, well, what are the actual numbers involved?
Yeah.
And I really like that method because... For the most part, they're saying exactly what you're saying. Like, look, it's not really about the numbers. It's about learning. It doesn't matter what weapon you use.
Right.
If your tactics are on point, you're going to be able to get through the game. You're going to be able to learn and improve and figure things out. Because while some things have a higher, you know, whatever, like, you don't need to min-max this experience unless you really want to. At which point, you have to put in the fucking effort, right? Like, you have to mine that data and go all out to figure out with the community... You know, how fast is this projectile moving versus this projectile? And, you know, again, at the end of the day, if you're most of the people who do this are PvP players, but there's still an incredible amount of diversity amongst PvP players because they enjoy using weird stuff and non-normative stuff and fake outs. And then there's meta involved, right? And that's the great thing about this article as well, because he specifically mentions how the quantified self is a very, like, isolationist perspective on your own body and your role in the world. And Dark Souls is great too, because even if you were to plumb all of the data and figure out exactly which weapons caused more bleed damage versus others, because there's such a thing as a meta, because you're in this wider context, the data is kind of useless.
Right.
Like, it can give you a little bit direction, but at the end of the day, you have to go...
In a vacuum, you might create something that is instantly foiled by something that
exactly
you didn't.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think most multiplayer games have that meta. Mm. And so data is only like this minor starting point, you know, in a way that that's true for humanity as well, right? Like you're never going to be happy just by drinking Soylent. You've got to like supplement your crazy data hunger with like actual human interaction and, you know, involvement and stuff.
I wonder if I've been thinking a little bit about fighting games because of the Evo stuff that just happened recently.
Yeah.
And fighting games.
Hungry Box. Let's go.
I mean, fighting games are like they're interesting to me because they're, to me anyway, they don't feel as quantified as something like some shooters feel like, because there's not that like your accuracy or whatever. It's just not tracked to that level for the most part, but it exists. Like if I were to ask Daigo, like how many hit points does a Hadouken do? Like he would know, you know, but there's like, because they obscure the actual numbers and turn it into a bar or turn it into like a reach, not like, you know, you don't see the hitbox. You just have to learn the hitbox. And if you're good enough, you know exactly where it is, but it's still invisible. You know, like there's some obscurity to this data that is still driving the system, which perhaps is an important part for like not making games completely deterministic.
Totally. You know? Yeah, for sure. And that's partly what adds a level of skill to it as well, right? Like if you can read a hitbox and familiarize yourself with the invisible elements, I mean, that's partly the joy of video games in the first place, right? Yeah. Discovering those systems. Mm. Like Spelunky has all of these really basic rules and we can know exactly how many pixels we can jump versus how many pixels a shopkeep can jump. But the joy is getting to a point where I think you and I are, right, in Spelunky, where we can read an environment and grok all that information almost instantaneously.
Right.
And when something happens and it's chaotic, it makes us laugh because once again, we're finding surprise in a system we know so well, right? And learning that system is the joy of it. And if they just gave us all this data, like not only would it be super unattractive, right? But it would not be as enjoyable of an experience in terms of finding it, right?
Right.
And you can kind of see this in like MMOs and stuff. Mm-hmm. The way that when you do damage, like how much damage,
pop out.
Like who the fuck looks at that and goes, oh man, I'm hitting, you know.
Gotta love those numbers.
Like if you're trying to figure out which spell is like more efficient, I get it. But no one in the heat of battle is being like 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, yes. You know, like that doesn't happen. What do you think about the feeling, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I have the sense that I'm in a perpetual state of believing all games are collecting all data and I just don't know it. And it might not be fed to me.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like that's an invasive form of like collecting data? Like, do you feel like you are being quantified? You're being objectified?
Yeah.
In a way, when you know that like, when you play Pokemon Go, it's keeping track of where you walk and how many steps you take, or if you're playing, you know, I don't know, Shadow of Mordor or something, like, oh, Scott has killed X number of orcs and
I remember there was a Ubisoft game, I think it was one of the Assassin's Creed, where it asked you to rate every mission at the end, where it's like, oh, okay, you know, we fed that back into Ubisoft for some reason. Yeah. Like,
Well, I mean, a lot of this is used to create those, like, cool infographics for communities afterwards, right? Like, oh, X number of demons have been killed in Doom kind of thing.
That is something that I think about some, in the context of just how different it is from, I mean, this is, I would say that we're probably, I don't know, maybe this is the second generation of games that are doing that. I guess when achievements were a thing, that's really when the craze took off.
Right.
When your games talk back to the internet, I suppose is how you do it. But because like, I don't even know for something like, you know, a Mario game or something, like I bet the logging isn't even there. Like I bet they're not even keeping track of that.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason. Like it's not going anywhere, right? Yeah. And it's not being exposed to you. And so it does change your perception. Like I think about in Overwatch, because I know Overwatch is keeping track of which character I use the most.
Yep.
And even the fact that even if I'm not looking at what character I use the most, it is influencing my decision when I pick a character, because I'm thinking to myself, oh wait, am I just being Torbjorn again? Like, like maybe I should just switch. Like, I'm not even looking at the graph, but the fact that I know it's keeping track influences me.
Yeah, like, so for example, there's a third-party site that will tell you your win rate on specific heroes in Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at that, and like my biggest win rate is like Junkrat, Winston, and Torbjorn. Mm-hmm. And that definitely affects me, right? Like, mm-hmm. I was thinking about picking up, like, May or something, because yeah. I think we needed a May. And mm-hmm. I was like, man, my win rate is something like 30%, so yeah. I'm not going to bother.
Yeah. But and it becomes, like, a weird... are you being trapped by it, or are you being helped by it? You know, because, like, it's the very yeah. act of knowing that it is recorded is definitely influencing yeah. your decision.
I mean, this is the problem with, like, yeah. over quantifying things, yeah. right?
Yeah.
Like we get into like analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
It's too much data. I mean, game devs know it, right? Because there's tons of games that get a huge amount of data and it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, what does it tell you that X number of people died in this one spot? It doesn't mean that spot is hard. Maybe people should be dying in that right. spot. Maybe it's good for pacing, right? Like, yeah. there's all sorts of, we just don't know what to put there.
Mm.
And so I think for any game, like, it just, it's got to be on a case by case basis for what information you have access to or would be helpful.
Yeah. Cause
that's the other thing is like what you're talking about in terms of your most popular heroes in mm-hmm. Overwatch. I think sometimes if that data is available, people will look at it, even if they know it's a detriment to how they play, you know,
like, they can't help it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. what would, you know, if they were like, oh, look at this list of all of the people, how many times that you've died against the characters that have killed you the most, it's just going to make you feel bad. I mean, yeah. it might give you a little bit of information.
I already hate Hanzo.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I already hate, you know, yes, I get it. The new D.Va is busted. Like, yeah. whatever. But you still might look at it and yeah. you still might go, ugh, you know. Or like World of Warcraft. I don't know how many games do this anymore. I guess Steam does it. But they have a like slash played and you can see how many hours you've invested in those mm-hmm. games, you mm-hmm. know. There was no moment in WoW when I did slash played and it was like 1 month of real world time. I felt good about myself. Never, right? I was never like, fuck yeah, time well spent.
Yeah.
But
maybe ultimately it was a good thing because you decided, well, if I feel this bad about it, maybe I should move on.
I guess. You know? Yeah. Yeah,
like, it's a hard, you have to fall hard a lot of times until you realize, okay.
I mean, for WoW, though, that's also like a badge of pride in a way. It's like, that's, man, you lived through that shit. It's like, it's like Vietnam or something. Right? It's crazy. Or like, I mean, Dark Souls, right? You can say, oh, I put in X number of hours. This is really common in video games, in fact. Yeah. People just saying, how many hours did you put into X game, right?
Yep.
How many hours did you play Skyrim? How many hours did you play Overwatch, right?
I would argue that that's also because developers and publishers, for better or worse, realize that people judge value based off of time.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure.
But that then it also reinforces that thought.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. It becomes a loop of like people only care about dollars per hour. Therefore, developers put in like content that stretches and also timing that measures it. Therefore, people care even more about it because they can compare it to other. It's just this like accelerating cycle.
Because you don't know how to do that, use that data, right? Like ideally you're using your playtime to sort of relive the experience in a way.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm using this to measure 30 hours in, I was fighting Aldrich, something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's kind of cool. As opposed to using it as a metric of value.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, the last thing that I'll say is that in terms of like the quantified self, one of the reasons why I'm okay with a lot of that stuff in video games is because it gives me an outlet to where that stuff can work almost flawlessly. Like if I get this strength, it will work, you know? Yeah. Whereas outside the kind of the windmill that people are tilting at around the quantified self for a human is so imprecise and so subject to failure that to me it's almost, it's good to measure things and it's good to set goals, but it's almost a fool's errand to get too extreme with it because things will get murky and muddy.
Yeah.
And so it's like video games are like a respite where it's like, ah, here is a closed system that, you know, will work exactly. And I can give my brain that little outlet and then disconnect and be okay with the ambiguity.
Totally. Yeah. I like data in both contexts. If it's like surprising and funny,
right?
Like if it's fed like, oh, George, like you froze to death in the long dark, like a dozen times or more like, oh, you ate X number of carrots or you've had this many wheels of cheese in your house at once in Skyrim,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing to me as learning like the average human sits on the toilet for 30 hours a year.
Now I gotta break that streak.
I mean, like, I don't want to measure that information daily, but I wouldn't mind getting the data every now and then just to mix things up, you know?
Just to know. Just to change your Just change your habits.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up there.
Squat instead of sitting for a month.
Squat toilet. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. We have 388 episodes of this podcast.
Woo!
You could leave us a rating, a star rating, wherever you find those podcasts.
We're going to measure all those stars.
We're going to measure them up.
Base our self-worth on them.
Exactly.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.
Every time we disagree, there's a place to go to, because I